Welcome to Historically St. Pete, a weekly conversation where we explore the truths and even the myths of the people and events that have created the Sunshine City. Hi, my name is Rui Frias, and I still have the coolest job in town. I'm the executive director of the St. Pete Museum of History. Located on the St. Pete Pier, we've been sharing the stories of the Sunshine City for 103 years. And now we're so happy to share those stories with you here on Radio St. Pete. So about a year or so ago, we shared the history of one of St. Petersburg's most unique and definitely most historic neighborhoods, Roser Park. This historic gem is tucked away just outside the downtown corridor and unknown, actually, to many residents. So me, growing up on the edge of Roser Park's neighborhood, I love guiding our trolley tours through Roser Park, if just to see the reaction of amazement on the faces of the tour guests as they explore this neighborhood. This neighborhood was a creation of a few visionaries, but none as strong as Charles M. Roser. As a young man in the late 1800s, he entices his family to invest in a confectionery factory in Ohio. In 1910, he sells the factory, including everything it makes. And this is kind of where history gets reshaped, just like the neighborhood. Records are a little blurry, but Roser sells to a company, which is then purchased by the National Biscuit Company. No matter how it happened, Roser ends up with $1 million for his factory, and Nabisco ends up making America's greatest cookie, the Fig Newton. The Museum of History is honored to be working with Roser Park's Neighborhood Association on a number of projects, including two very large activities that we'll be announcing at a later date here in Historically St. Pete. But there's one event in particular that we love that is coming up in a couple weeks. And to talk about that today is our guest, Domenico, past president of the Roser Park Neighborhood Association. Welcome, Dom. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I love that you said that the Fig Newton is America's greatest cookie.
It's my favorite cookie. And everybody looks at me like, well, you're so weird. I'm like, no, I love Fig Newtons. I always have. Everybody
you're that guy that likes the
Fig
Newtons.
Yeah, I know.
I like them too.
And I don't like the, you know, like the apple strawberry fake ones. I like the real ones.
The fig ones.
You know? Yeah, the fig ones. Mm-hmm. All right. So you live in the city's first neighborhood and with some of the most historic homes in St. Petersburg. It only makes sense that some of these structures are haunted and there are ghosts roaming throughout the neighborhood. That is if you believe in that stuff, which, of course, as a historian, I do. So coming up on November 15th is Historic Roser Park's fourth annual Ghost Fest. Now, this neighborhood is a perfect fit for a creepy ghost event, right?
It
so
is.
Tell us what we can expect. How scared are we going to be?
Well, don't worry. It's not too scary. It's family friendly. There's not going to be anybody chasing you around the neighborhood.
No chainsaws.
Okay, nothing like that.
Good.
So this year we decided to host Ghost Fest in November. In the past, we've had iterations of this event that was in October. And last year was a little bit traumatizing with the hurricane, so we decided to just plan in November. And so far, I'm really happy we did because there's not a lot going on in November. And so in mid-November anyway. And so we've sort of kept the spirit, some of that spooky spirit, by doubling down on our haunted sort of tales of our neighborhood. So we have a saying in our neighborhood that says every house comes with a ghost.
Perfect.
And so there's lots of tales. And so we will be having trolley ghost tours around the neighborhood. So that Star Trolley is teaming up with Brandy Starks and the Spirits of St. Petersburg. They've done some paranormal investigations throughout the neighborhood. So they're going to be sharing some of those stories as well as some of the lore of Roser Park as the trolley goes around the neighborhood.
Now, let's talk about Brandy for a second because I've known Brandy for years, and we do a haunted trolley tour and a haunted boat tour, actually, that Brandy is the host of.
That I have not been on. That sounds like a fun ride.
Fun. Yeah, it is a fun ride. And for people who don't know who Dr. Stark is, Brandy is like the queen of ghosts, right, in St. Pete. She actually did a paranormal investigation of the Museum of History about a couple of years ago, I guess, because, you know, when she asked me about it, I'm like, of course you can't, because, listen, you know, this museum is filled with things that belong to people that are no longer with us. Mm-hmm. So if there's any place in St. Pete that's haunted, it has to be us. And she's actually the reason why our 3,000-year-old Egyptian mummy has her own home and exhibit now.
Oh, wow.
Because when she was done with her investigation, she, you know, of course I'm like, okay, you know, what did you find? And she goes, well, the biggest problem is the mummy's not happy because you keep moving her around. So she now has a permanent home. And, you know, you talked about the hurricanes last year that unfortunately, you know, hit this area. We had minimal damage on the water.
That's
so
lucky because you're right on the water.
Oh, I know.
I don't know how.
So
I
credit Brandy and for saving our mummy.
There we go.
And the mummy saved the museum. So sorry, didn't mean to interrupt, but go ahead.
Brandy is great, and she's done. She actually investigated my home and found out things about my home that I didn't know. I didn't know there was a murder at my house until her team came in and was like, hey, you know, they have a whole process, which is admirable because I didn't know what to expect. Mm-hmm. But their process is like, you know, pretty tight. You know, it's a pretty good process. And they found the presence of someone and they did some digging and they found newspaper articles that chronicle this sort of scandal that happened.
Oh, wow.
And that was on the ghost tours in the past. This year, I'm not sure, actually, if it's going to be on the ghost tour, but I'm happy to share that story with anybody that asks. But Dr. Brandy Stark is a great asset to Rosa Park. I mean, she loves the neighborhood, of course, because it is so haunted. And we're trying to claim the title of St. Pete's most haunted neighborhood. So
I'll vote for that.
So come down to Rosa Park. That's November 15th from 4 to 9 p.m. You can pre-purchase those ghost tour tickets if you go to rosaparkishaunted.com and click on Get Tickets. But I also will say there's other free events. So the ghost tour is a ticketed event, but there's a lot of other free things happening. So we're closing off Rosa Park Drive along the creek in the park, which is a beautiful scene if you haven't been. And we're going to have different community partners and vendors table along the creek. So there's going to be a little market, a haunted market, as we're calling it. We're going to have some entertainment. We have an improv group doing a performance. We're going to have a flash mob doing like a thriller dance.
Oh, nice.
We're going to have some music. We have a hand pan guy coming out. We may have a stilt walker come out. We're trying to secure that as well. But we already have over 15 vendors that are committed to coming. So it's going to be a great event. So between 4 and 9 p.m., the ghost tours are actually starting at 3. And you can pre-register for those on if you go to rosaparkishaunted.com, it'll take you to the link on our on Rosa Park's website where you can buy tickets.
So you've got the ghost tours with Brandy. You have the Halloween market along Pooker Creek there. Mm-hmm. Charlie.
The tree.
I didn't know anything about Charlie until I went to your event like 2 years ago.
Oh, really?
The story of Charlie. I didn't know that beautiful tree had a name.
Oh, yeah. It's Charlie.
So tell us about that.
So some people call him Charles. I call him Charlie. There's a beautiful big a senior oak tree, as our city's arborist likes to call them, Dean, that is sort of presiding over the creek, right? He starts on one side of the creek and he sort of reaches over the creek onto like over Rosa Park Drive. He's beautiful. He's around 200 years, according to our city's arborist. If you look at old postcards from when Charles Rosa was really trying to sell this area, you can see Charlie in the postcards, a younger Charlie. Apparently at that time he was about 100.
Correct, yeah.
So already like quite a majestic tree, and now he's huge. You know, he's like a sage. And there's a little spot, actually, if you go up to the tree and you sort of sit, you sort of have your back to him on the east side of the tree, you do get this weird sort of envelopes you, and you get this weird feeling come over you. So it's he's definitely a character. He's part of our neighborhood.
So market, ghost tours, food?
We're going to have food. Our resident chef Michael is going to be cooking up some snacks for people. And then we're going to have, you know, some of that live entertainment along the street as well.
Fantastic. So, I mean, we participated last year and it was a blast. And even though it got changed, obviously, because of the storms, but it was still incredibly well attended. So, I mean, there are so many things, right, that in this neighborhood that makes it so unique. And this event is one of them. Tell us more. If you were to tell somebody about Roser Park, because, you know, it's funny because when I share the stories of Roser Park, especially the people who are fairly new to the city,
right,
no idea, of course. And even some of the older residents, no idea.
Yeah. I remember the first time I stumbled across Roser Park now. 17 years ago now, because I'm old. I remember stumbling across it, and it felt like I had stumbled into like some sort of a fairy tale of some kind. Like it does feel different than the surrounding landscape, you know. And especially since you're coming off of MLK, so there's this huge contrast, because you have these sort of like winding roads along the creek, and then it's all brick roads, and you have some sort of like hills and cliffs, which are unexpected too. I love living there. And there's a lot of really interesting history. There's the legend of the mini lights, which has been around for a while. And a lot of people who have lived on the South Side know of that legend. Like, you know, people that have been in St. Pete their whole lives know about that legend. But
and they'll hear about it at the event.
And they will.
Yes.
They will.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So the neighborhood itself... I mean, it was a bunch of different developments that kind of came under one umbrella, and, you know, and again, Charles Roser had the biggest part of it. Had to be one of the city's like favorite developers. I mean, when you think of what he did when he came to St. Petersburg, it's almost like he had the golden touch, not just money wise, but he did. I mean, everything he created, developed, sold. Obviously, he did well for himself with, but. When you think what he gave back to the city, right? So he donated the park back to the city. He donated the land. It was about 5 acres of land to build Roser Park School, which becomes Roser Park Elementary, where I went to kindergarten. He built a dorm for nurses next to Mount Park Hospital. He moved the Augusta Memorial Hospital, which was our first hospital, to help open a hospital for black residents when the city was still incredibly segregated.
He did a lot. It was an era when developers...
gave back?
Yeah, they gave back more than they do now, right?
Well, I think because they lived here, right? They didn't come here, build something, and leave. This was their city.
Yeah, even today's developers, like I always, you know, I do know some developers that are local, and I trust them more, you know. But you're right, a lot of the developers who come through here are investors from some other state. They're trying to make a buck. A lot of times they're not even building something that's in character with where they're putting it. They haven't looked around, you know. They do what they can, and then they leave, and a lot of times leave us with some of the problems that they've created. Yeah. But that back then, it was a little different. Charles Roser did a lot, but it wasn't terribly uncommon.
Correct. And you know, you mentioned when you first discovered it, this unique neighborhood, and I equated almost to like a theme park when you're in a crowd of a million people and then you go on this ride and all of a sudden you're transported to this like mystical place. Yeah. It's like the same thing. I mean, you come off of, you know, 4th Street or MLK and there's tons of traffic and craziness, and then you drive through Roser Park and you're like, oh, you're like looking around at trees and a creek and everything, you know. It's pretty amazing. So all this history, I mean, when you looked at buying a house there, how much does all this history matter to the people who live in the neighborhood?
So for most of us, it does matter. And it matters a great deal. And you can tell, because whenever there's like a major development that's coming, that's threatening, you know, in our to build in our area, a lot of residents do get very concerned about like, well, is it going to be, you know, in character with the history that, you know, is it going to be contextual, you know? There are lots of things about our neighborhood that our neighbors love. The brick streets, right, that Charles Roser had put in, you know, that was something he was really adamant about getting installed, because he liked the way the brick streets elevated the neighborhood. You know, we care about these things, and so sometimes we see things get damaged, or there have been a few times where the city has come and maybe you know, change something, or maybe they fixed something and they weren't quite as respectful to like maybe our brick roads or something. And neighbors are always, we always make a little bit of a fuss about that. The history is important to us, and all the residents in Roser Park know about Charles Roser and where it comes from. And for me, when I bought my house, yeah, I'm all about that. I love that. I love history. My house is 100 years this year, actually. It turned 100. And I threw a little party for it, you know. So it's important to me. I think that there's a lot that more we can do in St. Pete in general to preserve the history that we have here, because it is important. I think it's history is full of lessons and culture and richness. So I love it all.
And this kind of brings us back circle to Ghost Fest, because this is a great opportunity to show off your neighborhood to the rest of the city. Right?
It is, yeah. And I've been, since I've sort of taken an active role in the neighborhood, I've been more of the sort of, you know, ilk to show off our neighborhood to people, to show that it is an asset, that it is a gem, because I feel in a way it is a way of protecting history, because it's hard for people to care about something that they just don't know about,
right.
but if somebody decides that they want to annex part of the neighborhood and build something monstrous, people will start to defend it. So we have this fest. The Ghost Fest is a big deal, November 15th. We're also going to be hosting a tour of homes on March 21st, I believe. And so that allows guests to actually go into some of these historic homes and see what they're like as you wander the neighborhood. So that's another way to invite people to the neighborhood.
So before we go, tell us one more time, where do people go if they want to buy tickets on the trolley tour? What time, date, all that good stuff, where to be?
Okay, Ghost Fest, roserparkishaunted.com. You can get more info. It's November 15th, that's a Saturday, between 4 and 9 p.m. The first ghost tour starts at 3 p.m. You can come in costume. I haven't done any marketing for this, but I really want people to show up in like just sheet ghost costumes, just wear like bed sheets. Okay. I want to like walk down the creek and just see a bunch of people in sheets.
That's a great idea.
I think it would be the most hilarious thing. So if you can wear a bed sheet to Ghost Fest, that would make me very happy.
So I have to put away my inflatable dinosaur costume.
Yeah, don't bring that one. Okay. I mean, it would be fun to see dinosaurs. We will have candy. I would love to see you in a dinosaur costume. I would absolutely love to.
Okay, all right. Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, Dom, thank you so much for stopping by and joining us on Historically St. Pete and sharing the historic Roser Park's Ghost Fest information. Encourage everybody to get tickets and go out and check it out. We had a blast there last year. Also, please make sure you stop by the Museum of History on your next visit to the St. Pete Pier to explore the rich and unique history of the Sunshine City. You can visit historystpete.org for more details on our exhibits and our tours. Thanks for listening. Join us next week on Historically St. Pete.